Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 282. We are recording this on Wednesday, October 26, 2022. I'm your host, Tim, returning for another episode and then disappearing into the multiverse or the microverse or
the quantum
time,
realm.
Quantum realm or somewhere. Joining me tonight, the people who have actually been propping up this podcast for the last few months, John and Sheba. Hi, guys.
We're here. Hello.
John, you're still sick.
We're here. I am still sick.
That's unfortunate.
But he's still here.
He is. Commitment.
Yep. Dedication.
I'm hoping that the mute button works, unlike last MCU TV. Well, yeah, last night while we can record, but MCU TV, where I was like desperately trying not to cough because the damn mute button wouldn't work.
Hopefully it does.
Hopefully.
If not,
Tim's got editing to do.
No, I don't want to do editing. we got to get you an XLR set up with a cough button.
There you go.
That's the way to go.
Baby steps.
That's the way to go. Baby steps. Folks, just as a reminder, Guardians of the MCU is part of the Ram Chatter Network. Please do check us out at ramchatter.com for information on all of our shows, membership through Patreon, access to the Escape Hatch Discord channel, and show merchandise from TeePublic. I think the only network announcement is that you guys recorded the last MCU TV episode for about a month-ish?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think so.
Approximately.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys did the finale of She-Hulk, which was a lot of fun. We just got that posted. I realized it was there for me, so I edited that earlier today, and that got set up today. So that just got posted a few hours ago. The next thing going to be that's coming up is going to be the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, which is releasing. We just got information on that in the last couple of days. That's releasing on November 25th. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more, but just kind of as the heads up for the MCU TV listeners, that's what's coming up there. But with that, folks, I think we should get on to our news. John, I'm going to let you lead the discussion on the trailer if you want, because when you called me earlier, you said that was basically the main plan. So if you want to, that's cool. Otherwise I can, or Sheba can.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be around Robin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, since we're both married to Robins, so
Sheba, this is true.
Sheba, when you get married, your spouse has to have the name Robin.
Yeah.
Fair
somewhere.
Enough.
Done. Or we're just going to refer to them as Robin. If you if you do get married.
Exactly. At this point, we never know.
Who knows?
Let my mom know.
So, I mean, more teaser than trailer, but very much kind of a first look at what Quantumania is going to be. I did not know this was coming out. Did you guys?
Somebody had posted in my group chat, was like, here's a version of it, like it was a grainy version, and someone's like, I don't think it got leaked because I don't think it was supposed, like, it looks like it's very grainy, and I hadn't watched it. And then like maybe within the hour, Marvel had started, or James Gunn posted it. No, not James Gunn, sorry. Marvel had posted it. And I was like, oh no, sorry, that was the Guardian special. Just kidding. No, I did not know what was happening. I'm getting everything. They happened one after the other, so I'm very confused.
My supposition was that they were going to put it out with Wakanda Forever. Which they may very well still, in terms of a cinematic type of thing. We may see this recut into a cinematic trailer, but no, I did not expect this to just magically appear. And can I just say, for the record, because I know there's people out there who are automatically thinking it's an Ant-Man thing and Tim is going to crap all over it. This is the first Ant-Man movie that I am excited for.
Actually, wow. You know, when I watched this and I went, I wonder if Tim's going to like this because this doesn't feel very Ant-Man-y.
Exactly.
That was literally the thought that went through my head. I'm like, this looks a little bit like it's a less Ant-Man vibe and a little bit more serious. Not, you know, I'll joke. I'm like, I wonder if Tim's going to like this, at least the trailer.
Yeah.
So
I like humor in my movies, particularly my Marvel movies. I think they always do humor very well. But, you know, the first couple of Ant-Man movies, just too slapsticky, especially the first one. The first one was very heavy handed. The second one softened it a little bit. This one, at least from initial appearances, from what we've seen, I'm sure it still has some fantastic humor in it, but it is probably much less slapsticky.
Man.
And you're not a big Paul Rudd fan either.
He's fine. I'm not like a fanboy, but I don't dislike him. I think he's a fine actor. Yeah.
Okay.
And I myself love Paul Rudd, so.
Yeah,
I'm really biased when it comes to Sandman.
I want to be his friend. I want to right? have beers Same. With him. I just
want to hang out with him.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, I just want to hang out and just be like, "Yo, Paul Rudd, what's up?" Like. And then I want to laugh also because I'm sure people already talk about ask him, like, "Yo, Paul Rudd, tell him funny." So I wouldn't want to do that the entire time, but I still want to be friends with him.
So for HIPAA reasons, I can't tell a Paul Rudd story on the air, but when we go off the air, I'll tell you guys a Paul Rudd story.
Sweet. Okay. We'll go with that.
So we get to see what, I mean, this is actually similar to Hawkeye, very kind of a look at what is life as an Avenger after Endgame.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks for everything, Spider-Man. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I very much on the nose still of Endgame where he's like, Hulk's like, "No, he's Ant-Man. You want a picture with him?" And they're like, "No, yeah. I don't know."
Yeah. Like, I don't know who that is.
You even got that from like the kitty high five from the kid's almost like, "Who are you?"
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, at least Baskin-Robbins pulled through for Scott. I mean,
it's true.
What was it? Employee of the Century?
Employee of the Century. Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty big.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, at least they pulled through.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to be in Rogers the Musical.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Even though he wasn't there.
Yeah.
Even though he wasn't there.
I mean, unless they're talking about the version where they go back in time and then technically he was there because he's the one that goes down him. And so, yeah. Is that like a weird, like somebody knew about it and that's insider scoop and that's why he's there?
Maybe we don't know. The thing is that the thank you for everything Spider-Man line totally seems like it would have been a oh my gosh,
Stan Lee.
Yes, thank you. It seems like it would have been a Stan Lee line. In fact, the guy, like, I kind of did a double take when I first saw the trailer. I'm like, that's not Stan Lee. But he's like this definite, like, older guy, scraggly hair, which Stan Lee his hair always looked nice. That was like the big difference with this guy. But it was like, wow, that would have totally been a Stan Lee line.
Yep, absolutely.
I did the same thing where I rewound it. And I was like, did the CGI, is it, yeah, very, and also, and then when I realized it wasn't, I was like, oh, I miss Stan Lee.
Yeah.
I miss cameos.
So the band is back together, of the, family of Ant-Men and women and WAP.
The Van Dyne family plus Scott, plus
the Langs, because Cassie's there too.
Yeah, all right, the Lang Van Dynes.
Yes, yes, yeah. And we have a Cassie version, what, 4.0? I think.
4.0? 3.0?
I think it's 3.0.
Because the daughter was played, the daughter and the first and second were the same.
Okay.
But in Endgame, Cassie was different than the new Cassie.
Right. Okay. So our third version of Cassie.
Well, regardless, this Cassie... hello, should teenagers really be playing with that level of tech?
She's a friggin' genius. Holy crap.
I mean, Riri Williams does, so yes.
Okay, but does she basically cause Kang? I mean, when we're said and done, and all of the things with Kang are going to be done, we're going to be like, that's cool, because Cassie decided to ping the quantum realm.
Yeah, it's going to be like with Peter Quill punching Thanos in the face. It's going to be like all that kind of level of hatred.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We can basically say that the snap of the universe was Quill's fault. We can, I think we'll be able to say here that the invasion of King the Conqueror is Cassie Lang's fault. Thanks, Cassie, jerk.
Yeah,
exactly.
Or we could blame Sylvie, because technically she stabbed the original king. So she also kind of
But these are all variants of King. True. So the king that we see here is properly King the Conqueror.
I thought he was supposed to be Warrior King.
I don't think so. I do believe this is King the Conqueror. So he has the
okay.
comic book costume of King the Conqueror, and the scar thing, I think, is really just an MCU thing for us to be able to discern the difference, because He Who Remains is kind of a a little kooky, but kind of a little more pacifistic version of Kang. Whereas this guy, at least from the couple of lines that we got from him and the shot of the massive army that he's assembled, this guy definitely seems to be a conqueror. Now, they might be changing it and they might be going from conqueror to warrior. I don't know. So, I mean, obviously that's still open. We don't know for sure, but I'm pretty firm that this is going to be King the Conqueror.
And I had thought that too, but I also remember, because of how much muscle he put on, I thought I'd read that they were changing that.
They could. We could also see numerous versions of Kang.
Yeah.
That could be another thing. And that's another reason, the scar is basically if you go back to 80s TV shows, whenever there was an evil doppelganger, they had a goatee.
the
scar on Kang is that's our version of that of the goatee, the 80s goatee. So that way we can tell this Kang is evil. He's the bad one because he has a scar.
Yep.
Dang, evil Kang.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we the whole quantum realm gave me a very Star Wars type vibe.
Oh, with like the different creatures?
The different creatures, the bar, there just seemed a lot kind of going on.
Yeah.
With it.
Yep. And then kind of Kang's like city, which is like a very Star Wars-y military base. Something like the Empire would have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The uniforms, all that stuff. Absolutely. I can see that.
It was also very, very, very bright. Is what I noticed. I'm like, ooh, so bright here. I'm like, I feel like when I watch theaters, I would be like, it's so bright in my eyes. Maybe I'm old now. I don't know. maybe I'm just old.
Janet is just clearly pissed off about the whole thing. If we want to blame someone, I mean, maybe we don't necessarily blame Cassie. Maybe we blame Janet, because she clearly knew some stuff and she didn't say anything. Right. And I get the whole, hey, we know the entire universe was traumatized by this whole Thanos thing. maybe mm-hmm. I shouldn't say anything about this Kang guy, who I was hanging out with for like a few decades in the quantum realm. Janet, I'm sorry. This is like a legitimate threat. You needed to tell somebody. You needed to talk. Especially there should have been like a quantum realm debrief.
Okay. Well, fair. But do we know how much time's passed?
No. I don't think this has been properly timelined yet.
Yeah, I mean, so think about it. She comes out of the quantum realm.
Well, although we see like young teenager Cassie. So,
well, I mean, but remember, but Janet was snapped.
That's right. So she wasn't around.
Cassie wasn't. So she wasn't. Yeah. So she came out of the quantum realm, you know, did a few things. Then they were sending him back, Scott, into the quantum realm. She got snapped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, with everything that's going on, I'm going to give her a pass if she's forgotten. Okay, maybe not if she's forgotten Kang. Okay, maybe not there, but I do feel she gets a slight pass for some, I mean, unless it's like 5 years later type of thing. I mean, she's had a lot going on.
No, I'll give you that. You're right. She was snapped. So yeah, there's some time that passed. Okay, I'm down with that. All right.
Okay. Sheba, will you accept?
Yeah, I accept. And plus, part of me is like, we don't really know. We just saw a trailer. What if I'm sure it is Kang, but what if it's also something else? What if there's also something, just like Kang plus something else is there? Because Marvel wouldn't just release Kang and be like, that's all, here you go. There's definitely more to it. Something else.
We have heard of MODOK coming out from this movie,
right?
So I maybe, and you're right, you're absolutely right. Very, very rarely is there just kind of one villain, and especially when we know that Kang is going to be around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, I'm with you, Sheba. I'm with you. You bring up a really good point that it may not just be Kang, and we kind of might see what Kang is setting up.
Right.
But in the end, are they going to be fighting Kang? I don't know. And maybe they are fighting, you know, a version of Kang, but then another version of Kang is going to be coming up later. I mean, I definitely think we're going to see multiple versions of him. Mm-hmm. But there very well could be someone else.
Yeah. So I'm just excited.
That's why I buy the double villain. I mean, it would be very Marvel, but I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like Marvel has done this before where they're like, here you go, here's what we're going to have in the movie. And then you watch the movie and you're like, that's not what I was picturing. So, you know what I mean? So at this point,
that's true.
So at this point, I'm just like, all right, well, I don't know. Like, this is what they're showing us, but what will the actual movie be? I still have no idea. So it could very well be just very like, you know, here's Kang and everything, but it could be something completely like, we're like, what? That was not what I was expecting at all. So I'm just going to wait and see, but I'm not 100% at this point. I don't 100% believe everything that Marvel shows me until I've seen the movie.
Yeah.
And that's not, I'm not saying as a slight to them or anything like that. I'm just saying that that's what I've come to expect, at least in this phase. So I'm like, I'm okay with trying to is, but also knowing that it could be completely different.
Sure. There's also a lot of talk out there about the symbolism that we see in a lot of this with rings. When we see Kang's city, there's a lot of like giant rings, and a lot of things are circular and that kind of stuff that are with this. Yeah. And obviously we know from Loki that, you know, kind of the ring is also, you know, symbolic of a loop of time, and some other things, but there's some suppositions and connections being drawn between the rings of Shang-Chi, and as well as the bracelet from Ms. Marvel.
See, everything's about Ms. Marvel. I'm telling you
that we have a lot of, you know, we have different things happening at different locations, different times that may all kind of be drawn together. And at least in terms of the Ten Rings, from the mid credit scene that we got from Shang-Chi, no one seems to know where these things have come from, and there is some kind of a signal that they seem to be attracted to. So, you know, we had Bruce Banner and Wong examining these things. So we know they're not coming. They're not made of anything from Earth. They may not be anything mystical if Wong doesn't know anything about them. So maybe they're coming from from the quantum realm.
Yeah. And Captain Marvel didn't think it was from space. And then there was that whole thing of it being like, because it was pinging something, like it was a signal. And then you have that same kind of thought process where there's that pinging and signaling in with Cassie and all that stuff. So it could very well be connected.
Yeah. And so just, you know, looking ahead a little bit, I mean, we have Captain Marvel 2 coming up summer of next year. Quantumania comes out in February of next year. And then we also know that there was this weird thing that transpired from the finale credit scene from Ms. Marvel, this displacement between her and Captain Marvel, which could kind of be some type of a quantum realm thing that happened.
I thought about that.
Yeah, so maybe Captain Marvel 2 actually is very much connected to this whole thing, which would make sense because that's then the roll up to in 2025, we have the Kang Dynasty movie. So have this is our cosmic thing that's happening. And this is kind of the roll up to it.
It's just really interesting because noticed the like the coloring and the rings and all that stuff. And even with Ms. Marvel, everybody was like, oh, you can see the 10 rings around like on the ground. So I wouldn't be surprised if they were all very connected to each other. It could be some like quantum related technology. Also a random aside, Ant-Man Quantumania comes out a week before my birthday. So I feel like Marvel knows that the birthday is in February and this is my gift. So thanks, Kevin Feige.
Absolutely. We also have Loki season 2 set to come out summer of next year. And it seems, I mean, yes, they could leave the Kang story, but they're clearly not going to. I mean, not with how the first season of Loki ended. Loki is bound and determined to go after Kang. So with that being next summer, sometime, probably maybe after Captain Marvel 2, you know, we're going to see a lot of stuff happening here surrounding Kang. A lot of stuff.
I love him as a villain. I think spreading it across, it makes for good. But I do agree with you. If he's the only villain we have across all of these, we're going to get real bored of him.
Yeah. We're going to have different versions of him. And I think that he's going to also throw different things at people. You know, and particularly if we have, you know, MODOK coming up, who, you know, maybe they change MODOK's origin story, that MODOK is some kind of creation of Kang's. And then, if you happen to pull in Dr. Doom, because we also know we have Fantastic Four coming up. If they pull in Dr. Doom and Dr. Doom has an association with Kang. I mean, there's a lot of different things that they could mill about. So I don't think it's going to be Kang all the time. I think that we're going to have we're going to see Kang being persistent, and Kang is very much a time traveler in the comics, and he's around, but he's also kind of a bit of a puppet master. And he manipulates things. So I think that may be something that we're going to see. But you're right, John. I agree. If it is Kang all the time, it's going to be kind of a yawner. Like, oh, this guy again.
Yeah. How are they going to be able to defeat this? I mean, I think that would work in What If. But I think, you know, a couple movies, you're going to be like, all right, cool. They're defeating Kang again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless they have like a thing where that's like you have, you know, another villain that's the main character or the main villain. And then this is kind of like an end credit, like, oh, it's also being connected to Kang at the end. They could still make it work in that kind of way. And then eventually when you have the big, everything comes together, you can, you know, you'll see how the little pieces fit together like in a puzzle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we did see Bill Murray also very briefly. We still don't know what role he's going to play. Do you guys have any thoughts on that or thoughts on Bill Murray?
Not really. I'm like, whatever.
I thought he'd been nixed from the movie. Weren't there some allegations against him?
Yeah, that's been going around. Like, well, it's mostly that he was being very inappropriate with women on set and things like that. And, you know, I mean, we know that generation was kind of, that was acceptable, quote unquote acceptable, not to say that it was acceptable, that it was just accepted. It was just a norm. They considered it the norm.
Right.
If you will. But, so I am not saying that he didn't or did do anything. All I know is that there's a video of him being really inappropriate, and it's apparently really uncomfortable, and I have not watched it because I just was like, I don't want to be uncomfortable. Yeah. So I didn't watch it. But I know apparently that from what I've other friends who have watched it are like, it's really awkward. But that's all I know.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I haven't watched it. I just had heard that with that, I thought, and I mean, at this point it may be too late to cut him. Mm-hmm. But is there, you know, is he, I mean, I would definitely see him being kind of a one and done at this point.
Yeah. And of course we don't know again, you know, who he's playing, what the story is or anything.
Yep. Right.
You know, I have to also think that with someone like Bill Murray and, you know, you have an older actor who probably doesn't want to have the rigors of shooting MCU films anyway, so he was probably just going to do a single film and that's it.
Right.
That's my guess.
Yeah. That makes sense too.
I mean, I'm still like mind blown that Harrison Ford is going to have the patience for shooting an MCU film.
Right. Yeah. I didn't think he ever wanted to do anything that intense, but we'll find out.
I'm curious for Ford's piece. I know you guys talked about it on another one. I wonder how much of this is payday for some of these folks too. Like, I think for Bill Murray, I don't know. I mean, they can pick and choose what they want to do. I'd love to know what drew him to this. What drew him to come and want to do, you know, Ant-Man the Wasp? Was it something that does he really like Paul Rudd? Does he, I mean, same thing with Ford. I love it. The casting but after he was done with Star Wars, you know, I'm kind of like, why? I mean, what drew him to say, yeah, I'll do a Marvel movie? Sure, a paycheck, but I mean, how much freaking money does he need?
Yeah. I mean, someone like Harrison Ford, I think is pretty much swimming in it. You know, Bill Murray, not as much as Harrison Ford, but Bill Murray's also, you know, still a rather prolific actor, and he's, you know, still drawing down money from, you know, from a lot of things. I mean, you know, I mean, hell, even the original Ghostbusters movie, he's probably still getting some significant paychecks from.
Yeah, but, and he's been doing a lot of just little cameos in movies for a while now. Like, I don't think he's done anything major. I mean, like, he did way back, but like, as things were kind of slowing down, he did like the Space Jam movie that was further back down. But then there was Zombieland, he made an appearance. The new Ghostbusters movie. And so this might be along the same lines of all of those. I don't know.
Yeah. I think probably the last notable thing that we have is that we do see Cassie in her suit, her uniform for stature. So this basically makes her the latest of the what we expect are the young Avengers. What, you know, kind of seems that that Marvel's lining up for us. Any particular thoughts on stature? I really don't know a whole heck of a lot about her, to be honest. Beyond you know, stuff that we've talked about. I know we did a profile of not specifically of stature, but I think we did of Cassie.
That's all that I know. I'm like, I know that she's pretty, like, I guess she's a, I actually really don't know anything else besides, like you said, what we talked about. So I'm not like, yay for stature or boo. I'm like, cool, can't wait to see, you know. That's all.
I didn't know her. I was like, oh, I'm sure she has a name. She's got a cool suit. Also, when and part of it is like, oh, cool. So your dad and grandparents and mom made you a suit, and you're a teenager. That doesn't seem like a great. But then go and see, all of the above of the other young Avengers. I get it. But I'm pretty sure if I were Ant-Man and my daughter came up and was like, hey, I'd like a suit so I could do these things and everything else too, I'd be like, yeah, no.
Yeah, not right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else notable you guys want to bring up on this trailer?
Nope, not that I can think of.
Just kind of what we talked about. And it did what a good teaser is supposed to do, is it's a long way off. I knew it was coming, somewhat kind of still forgot about it. And seeing it, I'm like, oh, that's going to be good. Hell, it made Tim excited to see an Ant-Man movie.
Absolutely. Right. It sold me on an Ant-Man movie. It did its job. In fact, that was probably AEVIN's plan all along, was like, look, if we can sell Tim on this from that Guardians of the MCU podcast, then we're good.
Mm-hmm. Then we've done our job.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Let's see, another thing that just kind of a brief bit of discussion on, because we did just get a trailer for this and it's coming out in a month, the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special. The big thing is Kevin Bacon will appear.
Putting a new term to 6 degrees of separate, what was it, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon?
Just 6 degrees.
Yeah. There used to be I remember in a magazine, it was just literally, you would just have 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, and it was just a list of how people relate to Kevin Bacon, and they would have it every month. So yeah, just Kevin Bacon.
So Sheba will say, you know, at least in spirit, but you are both 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon.
I mean, technically.
No, because I'm 5 degrees.
Oh, right.
So oh, you know, Kevin Bacon becomes the sixth. No, but we won't go into it, but I can map it out afterwards of how I am 5 degrees from Kevin Bacon, which would make both of you a sixth degree.
That's fantastic.
It all leads back to Kevin Bacon, apparently.
It all does lead back to Kevin Bacon, apparently.
That's fantastic. Anything, and so, of course, this is Kevin Bacon's second Marvel role because he was in the X-Men franchise from Fox.
Oh, that's right.
So, yes. Yeah, yeah, he was a rather major villain in the X-Men franchise.
Oh my god, totally.
But he is playing himself in this. and apparently there's some movement from some of the Guardians crew to kidnap him and provide him as a Christmas gift
And of course it's Drax and Mantis who are at the helm of this because I mean
They don't understand civil society.
Exactly. So they're like, you're going to be our gift. And he's like, what the heck is happening here? And I'm really excited about this special. Cause I mean, we saw Werewolf by Night was just interesting. Like that was just a one-off, but it was a lot of fun. So this kind of feels like that. It's like we talked about with Werewolf by Night. It's not a short, it's longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the Guardians gang and just like all the hijinks that ensue with them. So yeah. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. John?
It's the same with a lot of any Christmas movies, the Die Hard debate and everything else. I have so few Christmas movies I like, and there's so many I don't like that I hear this and I think the Star Wars Christmas special.
I want
Elf, I want Rudolph, I want Frosty. These are the Christmas movies I want. After I see those, I'm like, I'm good. I need no more Christmas movies. So
This is coming out November 25th, though. So, like, you're going to have an early shot. This is going to be an early Christmas gift.
Yeah. I mean, can I return it?
KEVIM would be happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to cost you anything else, John, since you already have a Disney Plus subscription. So
that's true.
The only cost to you is going to be time. And if anything, it should be entertaining. It should be funny.
I hope so.
You know,
I'm worried because there was a lot in The Last Guardians that the humor I did not like, where I was like, you try to one up the first movie.
Yeah, I agree.
And that was kind of your likewise to between Ragnarok and Love and Thunder. Is like you went to the well one too many times.
Did you finally watch Love and Thunder?
While I was painting, so half paid attention, and I was glad that I was doing something productive while watching it. Because I was like,
I'm the only one in our group that was like that was wasn't my favorite, but was very entertained, and I was like, you know what, I could watch this if I'm feeling down.
So
the goofy Taika Waititi movies.
I'll watch the special. I'm not expecting a lot from it.
I'm not expecting a lot of substance, but it should be fun, if anything. That's certainly what I'm expecting from it. Other things in news. Maybe not purely lightning round these, but very, very brief. Armor Wars is apparently going to be released as a film instead of a Disney Plus series. In fact, not apparently. This is legit. This came from Variety and from Hollywood Reporter. Thoughts on that, guys?
I was just saying, I'm just happy that what's his name gets a movie. So, you know, he's been in the MCU for quite a while. Don Cheadle, that's what I meant when I said what's his name, but he's been in the MCU for a while, so it's kind of nice that he's getting a movie, although it would have, you know, the shows are nice as well because you get to see more of character development and you get to see more things, but also the movie is a movie, so I'm happy with with him, with it being released as well.
John?
I want it to be a show. I want, because I want more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
I mean, I like that it's going to be a movie. I think it's going to be good, but for something like this, I don't want 2 hours, maybe 2.5 if we're lucky. I mean, I'm going to do fast math here, 45. Let's say it's a 6-episode series divided by 60. I want my 4.5 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it basically cuts what we're getting in half content wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that I'm guessing that as they were doing their various edits of the story that they put together for it, they realized that they could have a shorter, higher impact story versus a longer drawn out, you know, that 6-episode story that we've seen with a lot of the MCU shows. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I mean, if from a writing perspective, they said, hey, this is what's going to be better. There, then if we try to stretch this out across 6 episodes, there's too much exposition. We have to build a C line mm-hmm. story. We have to, okay. You know what? If Marvel Studios thinks that we're going to get something better out of putting it, you know, into theaters, I'm cool with that. I'm totally cool with that.
Yep.
I do stand with you, John. I am disappointed that we're getting less overall, but if it means we're going to get a better quality story, then yeah.
Right, especially since a lot of the shows have been kind of rushed at the end. So maybe having it as a movie will allow for that less rushed feel.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, and I'm also good if this leads to a show afterwards. I mean, mm-hmm. as opposed to season one, season two, does this lead us to some other spinoff, or does this lead us well into the Ironheart show? I'm going to trust them. I'm sure they have phenomenal reasons, but it is just like, this is what I was really looking forward to, and I was like, right. You just cut half my entertainment.
Well, with Ironheart expected fall of next year, I think this is going to follow that. So I think Ironheart will be someone that we see kind of co-starring with Don Cheadle.
Okay.
In this. So she will be big. She'll be already be established. She'll be prominent.
So that's my guess. Maybe then it flows, you know, and bridges between seasons of that.
Yeah.
And some of what they were going to put in Armor Wars, we'll see in Ironheart. Who knows?
Yeah, they could very well do some of that.
It is just one that I was really looking forward to. And I'm like, God dang it. I'm still going to look forward to the movie, but I wanted more.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I'm all in, you know, more. I just want War Machine all the time. So I'm good with it.
I know.
James Gunn, some news for him. Mm-hmm. This is not Marvel Studios related news, but this is big for James Gunn. And congratulations to him. He has been named the co-lead for DC Studios. So it seems that DC Studios is doing basically a complete hard reboot. And he is going to be in charge of movies, TV, and animated stuff. Co-lead, I don't remember who his co-lead is. The name didn't stick with me, but James Gunn is seemingly the more prominent half of this. So that's a cool thing. I'm excited for him. Although this probably means that, you know, hey, it's a full-time gig for him because he's co-chairman and co-CEO. So he's probably not going to be doing as much filmmaking, which is a little bit of a bummer. He's going to be much more on the business end of things, but, So there's that. Hollywood Reporter confirmed that Florence Pugh, who plays Yelena Belova, has actually been contracted for 2 more MCU films. So Thunderbolts, we know, and then mm-hmm. something else. Any thoughts on what that something else might be?
would she be like, would she count in like a younger Avengers type thing also, or?
Probably not. She's probably too old, quote mm-hmm. unquote, for a young Avengers thing.
I mean,
Thunderbolts is set for summer of 2024. We have Secret Wars coming out in May of 26, but Secret Wars is like super powered individual. So I don't really see her being involved in it. I don't know. I mean,
I can see.
Unless you put her in Deadpool.
I actually might not be bad.
Yeah.
But I mean, would she? But she could also, I mean, she could fit in Kang Dynasty.
Maybe. Yeah. It depends what kind of a turn they go with that.
You know, is she, you know, beyond, you know, what we don't know? I mean, we have other dates being held. Are they holding her to say, hey, if Thunderbolts works, we want to have you under contract for Thunderbolts too?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe we back this up instead of looking ahead of, instead of looking past Thunderbolts.
Yeah.
Coming out just before Thunderbolts is Captain America New World Order. Yeah.
God. Tim, it's like we think the same way.
It's crazy, isn't it?
The same person.
It's insane. We might be. That's why actually only one of us is on video and the other one isn't.
Mm. Yep, mm-hmm. exactly. Can never be on video at the same time.
It is a dangerous conundrum. I mean, only because the quantum realm and the multiverse, are we able to do some things?
That's true. Right. That's true. Some crazy stuff.
Yep.
Let's see. Director by Night is going to be coming out on November 4th on Disney Plus. So this is basically the Marvel Studios assembled for Werewolf by Night. And seemingly it's going to be centered on Michael Giacchino, who was the director of Werewolf by Night. And we Sheba and I talked a lot about kind of the novelty of him being the director, a couple episodes back in MCU TV when we covered Werewolf by Night, because he's a composer. So I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be cool. It's coming out while I will be away on vacation. So this will either be an early morning or late night watch, or I will just download it on my iPad and watch it on the airplane coming home. Yep. So, the last item here, Sheba, I'm going to kick over to you.
Yay. Thank you. So I think it was on Marvel's Instagram account and the Black Panther account, it was a little countdown kind of, it shows the Wakanda Forever logo pops up and then all the letters disappear except for an R that's just left. And then they go 10/28, 2022, and that's it. So it just fades, like a lot of just fading in and out kind of thing. And I saw that, sent it to our group, and I was like, what does this mean? What does this R stand for? So I was like respect, like we just threw out all the R words I could think of. And then one friend was like, Rihanna. And I was like, oh, maybe. And then forgot about it. And then this morning, Rihanna posted on her own Instagram account and was just, the title of the song was there and Wakanda Forever. And then it just had big R on it as well. And so that means that Rihanna will be releasing a single this Friday for the Wakanda Forever soundtrack. Cool. And she will be providing other music. And she has not made music in a very long time, and people have been asking her on a regular basis. Literally, if you go onto her Fenty account, it's people going, that's great, congratulations, when are you going to release new music? And it's like so many comments on just when are you going to release new music.
Sure.
So all the Rihanna fans are just dying right now, because we're getting a whole bunch of music, and I can't wait. I don't know about both of you, but I will definitely be waiting for the 28th to listen to the song, and hopefully it'll be on repeat. I know the first Black Panther soundtrack was amazing.
Yeah,
it was really well done. It's one of my favorites. So I'm looking forward to seeing the new one and whatever Rihanna graces us with and you know, has her hands on.
Yeah. She's a big artist to bring into this. And mm-hmm. yeah, to anything following in the footsteps of the first Black Panther movie has to show up. And they had to do the same thing with whoever was going to be on the soundtrack. And I think bring in Rihanna is a good call. Yep. John?
I'm not a big Rihanna fan.
That's fair.
I mean, I can't say that I am either, but I don't dislike her music.
Yeah, I what I will say is a name like this for a movie like this, my first thought was, and Tim, you'll appreciate this, and Sheba, you will too, who's doing the opening song for the Bond movie?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's yeah, it's very much akin to that. Yeah.
And
yeah, so that was my go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I'm like, the fact that she came out of retirement, or I mean, she didn't retire, but she came out of like not recording any music
hiatus
to record for this. It's like, that's big. It's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, I mean, I get that. I'm sure it'll be a good song. Mm-hmm. To me, it was more the kind of the, I'd love to see more of that, because even though I like the Bond movies, I wasn't the biggest fan. You always knew the opening sequence and who was doing the Bond song.
Yeah.
And
it was a notable thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it would kind of be cool. I mean, a lot of Marvel movies do bring in notable music artists. You know, for certain things. Sometimes they're older songs. You know, we had the Immigrant Song in Thor Ragnarok. We had AC/DC stuff for the Iron Man movies. You know, and then, you know, for this we're going to have something new. And I've actually been intending on making a list, because there is literally, at least not that I've found, and I've like dug a bit, there is no listing. You know, you can find like the soundtrack list for all the MCU films, but that also includes like the music generated for the movies, the background scoring and that kind of stuff. No, I want the list of notable artists who their work is in MCU films, because there is a lot. And I would love to see, John, exactly what you said. Never even thought of it. Like, MCU movies should almost have this Bond-esque type of thing where each movie does have like a big name musical artist associated with it that does kind of, you know, whatever, like intro music and outro music or something. I don't know. It would be a cool thing to do, because we don't really see that in other franchises.
Yeah. It'd be a nice, I mean, and we have actors who, and we just talked about Harrison Ford, Bill Murray. There's others who are like, yeah, but you know, I'll do a Marvel movie. And you've got others who, you know, are opening campaigning for it, to have the music kind of tied to it too. I think would be pretty cool. Even if it were remixes of like classic, like, you know, 80s ones. I mean, have
the awesome mixtape.
Well, I'm trying. The only thing I can think of is, and this, folks, shows my musical knowledge, having a band, you know, like U2, pick your favorite band and just, or who's a hot guitarist, and have them do the new X-Men riff, and know that that's Slash, and again,
John,
dating myself, but Slash guitaring the X-Men 97 riff. Everyone would lose their mind, and it'd be awesome.
I've already lost my mind because you mentioned it. Holy crap, John. All right. We have to end the show there. I can't, no, there's nothing else we can do. That's it. So Slash doing the X-Men riff. Done. Thanks everyone. Bye-bye.